ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Now I'm scared. Once again, though, only way out is through. Nothing for me to do. I guess I'm just going to keep my head down and keep loading these guns. So eventually we load all of the guns. And at this point, they're yelling at each other. It has gotten very escalated. And he hooks a huge trailer full of lumber onto the back of the truck. And she is pointing her gun at him. Now, I learned later that that's kind of an MO of hers. She points her gun at a lot of people. Whatevs. I mean, not whatevs. It's not good. But so I get in, I'm like watching this, and he hooks this huge trailer full of lumber onto the back of this beat up pickup truck, and it's an old pickup truck, and he just turns me. He's like trying to de-escalate the situation that he was just escalating, and he turns to me and goes, "Lindsay, take my son and go. Get out of here. Get out of here. You gotta go."
All right, welcome back to You Never Know for another episode. I'm Jay Candle. I'm here with my co-host Adrian.
Hello.
That's all she's got.
That's all I say.
And we got a guest, Lindsay. I'm very excited to have you here.
Hi.
Maybe you can start by telling us a little bit about yourself, where you're at in the world, what you do, and we'll go from there.
Ooh, okay. What do I want people to know about me? It's a fascinating question. I'm Lindsay. I am currently in New York, but I bop around. I lived in Boston up until about 2 years ago, and then I needed more sunshine. I am,
fair.
Yes, I am the founder of a brand called TNA, which is apparel for the unhinged, unbothered, and unapologetic. And I try to live by those brand values in life, leading to some interesting stories. And what else? No, I think that's it for now.
Oh, no, that's good. So, you know, when I hear TNA, I think about hits and ass. Is mm-hmm. that what you're going for?
Well, it is kind of what I'm going for. So my brand kind of started really organically. It was COVID 2020. I was in the middle of the West Texas desert in Terlingua, Texas. And we can dive into that later. But it's very, very remote out there. I was pretty much living in a tent on my family's property, and I would just sit in the dirt and paint and then go to my MBA classes online because everything was online. And I started painting, and mostly what I started painting was like really unhinged and hypersexual COVID puns. So it would be like, it would be like a guy going down on a girl, and it would say like, eat your or drink your fluids, or like, I had so many, wash your hands, if you can imagine, cover your mouth. Like there's a lot of puns to be made. And I wasn't even good at painting back then, but they were kind of like, it wasn't necessarily for the art, it was for the bit. And then people, And I mean, God, do I do anything for the bit? I overly commit to the bit. That's part of my personality that I am really proud of in my 30s that maybe got me in some more trouble in my 20s because my bits have changed.
the way it goes.
But I started selling those for like $30 each. And it was just because like people on Instagram offered to buy them. And that led me to being kind of more into painting. And I started doing this thing where I would take like boudoir shots of my friends with their consent. I would do like boudoir shoots with my friends, and I would like paint something like a picture from that. And that, like, it turned out like I was really good at painting. I loved it. And I loved painting naked women. And back then I was like, I'm straight. I just love painting naked women, which was insane of me. So I decided to start an art page on Instagram that was like literally just supposed to be like a diary for my art. But then it got some traction and I called it Tits and Art. Because I featured tits and art. And sometimes I would like throw a thirst trap of me up there. Like, you know, sometimes I'm the art, like, you know, I don't know. No painting more beautiful than a thirst trap of myself. That's what I like to think.
Works.
You know, works.
It works. And I knew you when you were here in Boston Were you doing this art when you were in Boston?
I was doing paintings in Boston. I was working when I lived in Boston after business school. I had a completely unrelated business related to bras. And I ended up licensing the patent for that. And so like when you met me in Boston, I was in this like fascinating little in-between stage where I was like, okay, I'm done with this one business. And I had learned from that business that like I loved building a brand. Like that was amazing. I did not want to be the CEO of a nursing bra company for like 10 years. Like that sounded like, I don't even want kids. Like it's just too much. I had a cool idea, but like, I wasn't like passionate about it. And I had promised myself that the next business that I went into or I started, it was going to be like something that was like really authentic to me. And that led to me monetizing my personality. But I was painting in Boston and I was doing like painting commissions and I was like making money pretty much just like as an artist selling these paintings. And then one day I had the idea to put a painting on a t-shirt or a crop top. I just like found them online and I printed it and I just posted on Instagram. I was like, if anyone wants to buy one, and I sold 15 and I was like, huh,
wow,
that is like, there's a market there, right? Like if I can replicate 15 people and 15 people and 15 people, like that can grow. And ever since then, it kind of organically grew. I put out a couple of more products. I put out some shoes. And originally it was just like my art on clothing. Now TNA it's definitely like a full apparel brand. And I have a cool business model where I source blanks from factories that are just like white versions of clothes. They're kind of extras from like on trend apparel brands. And then I get them printed on demand. So I would say that the clothing is like aesthetic and some of it is maybe like a touch artistic, but it's not like wearable art in the same format. It became like a little more insane than that. And that's been a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Congratulations. And I just know from like talking to you, you've actually raised like a seed round, right?
Yes. I just raised a seed round, which is really exciting.
What is that? Hang on. I don't know what that is.
Oh, so it's kind of like an initial round of investment for a company. And it was just such good validation because my first round of raising funding, the first time I ever did it, I was in business school. And it sucked. I was like going like the VC route, like the angel investor route. Like I was definitely, something I learned is like I was definitely chasing what was like impressive over what was necessarily good for my business. It's just like classic like eldest daughter praise kink, like just following that. And so this time around, I was like, I'm not going to take investment until A, I've like super proven product market fit and I'm having steady sales. And B, it has to be from somebody who like trusts me understands that like the vision of the brand like has to come from me because like that's the only reason I started it. And I ended up finding some really supportive investors and kind of like a very Bechert, like very like meant to be way. I wasn't really like hardcore looking or raising. It's something I kind of like stumbled on. And that's only been in the last like month. But it's been so cool to be able to like raise my advertising budget and have some like real money to play with and see who's buying stuff, which is, it's fascinating. Like I have a shirt that says Kisses for Kissinger and it has Henry Kissinger's face on it, like in a drawing. And like that has been our best selling item this week. And I'm just like, who is buying that? That's fascinating. I kind of just made that up as a bit, but like, oh my God. So I do think it pulls an interesting group of customers.
It's cool that you can see like what kind of people are buying things like that. It's just like such a random thing that pops in your head and you're like, hey, maybe I can make some money off it. People love it. Yeah. People buy it. Yeah. And then it develops into this brand for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Like also, you know, the name, you know what they say, like, yeah, sell.
It's true. Tits do sell. Yeah. I found that my initial sales definitely came from men thinking that they were clicking on an OnlyFans because it's like titsandart.store and it's like and it's like through the Instagram of like a blonde chick, like and it would be like, you know, and it did work. It was interesting because it worked. It got me an initial customer base, but those are not like the brand loyal people, you know, like those are not the people who like care right. what I have to say. They like wanted.
They were there for the big boobies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You also have.
Yeah, yeah. I would say like I'm trying to pull people who are in it for the tits and the art. Definitely not or. I would be equally offended if somebody was into the art and didn't give a shit about my tits, you know, like.
Yeah,
it's art. It's art. My tits are the art of God, and my art is the art of me. So,
exactly.
I remember when you were like in Boston, we were at like a mutual friend's party, and you were like, "I'm moving. Like, I'm going out to like." You described it to me. I forget. You were like the desert, or like in the middle of nowhere, and I didn't realize you were literally like pitching a tent. I just like saw this setup and I was like, what is Lindsay up to? Like, I wasn't sure if you were in like commune, if you were like becoming a nudist artist, like in the desert. I wasn't sure what was going on, but it looked cool. How's that? Like, well, you're in New York now, but like, was that lifestyle?
It's fascinating.
Like a big adjustment?
Yes. But I mean, so I'm not in a tent anymore. Here was the dealio. So before COVID hit, like Terlingua is this like insane, super tiny, like this Terlingua is like the size of the area of Terlingua is like the size of Rhode Island, but there's 2,000 people total. It is like very, very.
Is that New Mexico?
It's in West Texas. It's like right on the Texas-Mexico border. It's next to Big Bend National Park. So it's like these desert mountains. It's in the Chihuahuan Desert. And my family, like 10, 12 years ago, we went on vacation to Big Bend National Park. It's like an 8-hour drive from Dallas. I'm from Dallas. And we like fell in love with it. And back then there was like, we started seeing like signs for cheap land for sale. And my parents ended up buying a bunch of acres out there. And we put like a trailer, like a 450-foot square foot travel trailer, very small, but it was fine because it was literally like to be used the way that somebody might use like a lake house or something. Like we would be staying there for like a week tops, and then COVID hit and like we were like, I think we should go to Terlingua. Like that seems to be the best like course of action back then. Like now my community is there and there's actually an exceptional group of like 25 to 40 year olds. But back then, I didn't know anybody. I wasn't a local. I didn't know anything. So we get to Terlingua and we stay in this travel trailer. And when I say that it is small, I mean, there's like my adult brother and I were sharing a room, which was just the hallway between the kitchen and the bathroom with like navy style bunk beds in the wall of one of the hallway. And so
that's wild.
Yeah. I was just like, where the fuck am I going to masturbate? Like, it was just like, there was nothing.
There was nowhere.
I couldn't breathe without my, and it's not like I'd been living with my family beforehand, you know, like, it's not like I was used to that. Like, I'm an adult woman. And so my brother and I ended up building this tent, out of like canvas and like plywood. And I loved the tent. It was my room. I would take all my MBA classes there. I would do all my painting in there.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Your masturbation, I
for assume, sure, for sure. It would, for sure. Like, where else? And it would like collapse.
Would you and your brother swap off?
No, he built his own tent. He built his own tent. No, my brother and I are not sharing a masturbation tent. Not happening. No, yeah, not happening.
Continue.
No, I would just say the tent would collapse on me like twice a day. It wasn't well made. And I just would be like, oh, and like pop back up. And then after, so I ended up like leaving Terlingua after COVID, going back to business school and then going to Boston. And you know, what happened in Boston was I loved it. Like, all my friends from business school were there. And I also had like a couple of my best friends from just throughout life that ended up in Boston. So it was really fun to have all my friends there. The problem is that when the sun like starts setting at like in New Hampshire, it was like 3 p.m., but even like 4 p.m. In Boston, I know everybody gets affected. I would get suicidal. And I know that's because I have bipolar disorder and it's like a big trigger to like not get enough sunlight. But it was, you know, I had been at business school up in New Hampshire and then Boston. And I was like, I've been living like at least like 4 years at this point, feeling like I want to literally die from like end of November to like end of February. And I was just like, you know what? As much as I love my friends here, there just has to be a place on earth where that doesn't happen, like where there is more sunshine. So I literally chased the sun. That's actually why I paused in the beginning of my intro, because I was like, oh wait, no, I'm not going to just talk about bipolar disorder immediately.
Right off the rip, you're
yeah. You have to know I'm funny first, and then you can hear about my mental illness.
Warm it up a little bit.
Well, you brought it up, we will go there, but yeah, tell us like what it's like to live in the desert in a tent. You were out there for like a year and a half, 2 years? Like,
yeah.
Like, straight?
So I kind of, like, I bopped around and used Terlingua as a home base. So my thing was, like, and it still is, by the way. Like, I'm in New York for, like, 2 months. But I'm going to, like, bop around cities until I fall in love with a city or a person. I am a lover girl. And you bitch falls in love in every city she goes to. So that hasn't been an issue. But I was like using Terlingua as a base, going back and forth. Like I would do like 2 months in Terlingua. And then my rule was I would do like an Airbnb and I just wouldn't spend more on an Airbnb than I would for like a month of rent in Boston. That was kind of my, so I would like do a month in an Airbnb somewhere and just kind of try to like do the equivalent, because I don't pay rent in Terlingua. It was like, okay. And it still is. I'm acting like this is not my current life. But
we are still doing this.
Yeah. Terlingua is wild. So yeah, I've been bopping back and forth, but I fell in love in Terlingua for a while. I
So I spent more time there than I originally planned. But it's wild. Like I said, it's in the middle of the desert. The closest town, like for us to go to the grocery store, it's an hour and a half away. Like, so it's a lot of homesteading. People don't live in normal houses. There are some normal houses. For instance, my family has a normal house. You know why? Because my mom is like a Jewish American princess to end all Jewish American princesses. And she was not going to move out into the desert until she had all of the comforts. And she recreated my childhood house in the desert. It's
That's awesome.
And then she made my dad build a building the same size as the house next to the house. And that's her fucking closet. Like, it's insane. I would say, yeah. It's like a huge concrete building. And my dad's like, it's my gym. And it has become her closet.
It's her closet.
Yes. And that's in addition to the closet that's in the house that is the size of a bedroom. And the reason why I'm pretty sure my bedroom is so small. But
they got switched. It's like, they're that bedroom's too big for her.
And I respect it. Like, it's not my house. It's like, I'm lucky enough to like have a place to stay, but like, it's, you know, you do your thing, mom. But most people live in, I would call them structures more than houses, storage containers, like concrete block things, adobe huts. When you see what people live in, you're like, that is fascinating. Water is really scarce out there. Not to toot our own horn, but like, we have like the best well in Terlingua. It is a spouter. It is, and that's liquid gold out there. I mean, like our water.
Definitely.
Yeah. We have amazing water, but people have to either catch rainwater. There's no like city water, and there's not city electricity. So it's like, it's very off grid. We have an electric pole. Once again, like, I cannot stress this enough. Like, my parents are not rugged. Like, they like the desert, but they're not
rugged.
They moved
to the most rugged area, but they're not rugged.
Yes, exactly.
What are the people up to that live out there?
People are up to everything from, like, moving drugs to witchcraft. Like, there is everything you could ever possibly want. A lot of artists, a lot of, like, everybody there is interesting. Everybody there has a backstory, and they will offer it up. And it's everything from like, oh yeah, I got my, you know, like, oh yeah, I got my law degree from Yale. And you're like, you live in a storage container. Like, that's what? And then, or that people like running from the law. There's also people like, they're just like artists and hippies. Everyone got like to go to even visit there is difficult. And then to decide to live there is such a schlep and like so difficult. It's such a schlep and it's so difficult that like the people there really want to be there. And because there's like no real government out there, like we're in this place with kind of a fluid border. So the checkpoints for the borders aren't for like 100 miles on either side because it's so remote. There's still like rancheros out there. Like there's still like the cows go back and forth like across the canyons and stuff. So you like to have a actual border crossing there would not be feasible with like the way of life is in Terlingua, which is pretty wild. A lot of people are bipolar there. And I have a theory. It's because the sun out there for me is so healing. It's just very sunny. And like when I'm in a depressive episode, I literally just sit in the sun like a plant. And I know a lot of people do the same thing. And I know this because there's a pharmacy an hour and a half away. And whenever I go in, they're like, we're running low on Lamotrigine, which is like the mood stabilizer that all of us take. There's a place out there called Bipolar Valley, which is a valley where bipolar people live. I'm kidding. It's where the weather is really like back and forth. But it's also where bipolar people live.
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. What's your craziest like person you've met or story you have from?
From Terlingua?
Terlingua.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Sounds like a made up place. It really does.
It does.
A little place in the desert that you find if you're like not looking for it, but it'll just appear for you.
Like a fairy portal. Like. You know?
Yeah. Terlingua.
I'm glad that you are so receptive to the description that I'm giving because that validates that I'm explaining it right. Because that's exactly
very
what
well.
It's like.
Very, very well. Yeah.
Okay, I think the next story will make it sound even more unreal. But I get to Terlingua And I've probably been there like 3 or 4 months. To set the stage, there are children in Terlingua. There is a school in Terlingua town. There's like maybe 4 kids per grade. There's like it's very small. Community is so huge out there. Like there are people who only survive in Terlingua and couldn't survive anywhere else because the community feeds them and clothes them and take care of them because there's not really government. So like, it's like the community has to be there or else like nobody goes hungry. Nobody is homeless. Like people are, but like there are people living on the edge, but like there is a safety net that's like strictly through community, which is beautiful. I would not raise my children in Terlingua. Couldn't pay me, but I don't want kids. So that's a moot point. But there are like children in Terlingua. There are a couple of like, the best way to describe them is like feral children in Terlingua.
They have parents,
but they don't go to school. They just kind of like wander around the desert barefoot all day. And like some of them like have guns and can like shoot rattlesnakes. Like they're just like wild. And yeah. And we try like my
feral
mom,
animals. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like literal feral children. Like it's not that they're not like clothed or fed, but like they certainly aren't being educated correctly.
Do they speak English?
Sure. They're not like Jungle Book. They're more, yeah. They're definitely like raised by mostly English speaking individuals and they speak, but they're just like, they're just kind of like dirty and barefoot by choice. And they do not go to school because like, or they're like quote unquote homeschooled, but they've never been schooled.
Wild children.
My mom runs across these 2 feral children who are real fucking cute. They're real cute. They're like 13 and 11, like the 10 or 11. And my mom is a 6th grade math teacher. So, and she just retired. And she was like, these children need to go to school and they need to get up to date on their math so they can pass the test to get them into school. So she starts tutoring them every day for like 4 hours. Spoiler alert, they did. They passed. They got into school. They're actually both at military academies right now. Like they're doing really well. So my mom really crushed that. But they have a father, as many people do. And he immediately comes across as like a potentially dangerous person, but definitely like there's something like pretty wild in his eyes. There's something a little bit intense and not a little bit. There's something deeply intense and a little bit not there. And one day he comes to drop the kids off and he's like, hey, this woman that I've been seeing, who the kids have started to call mom, they've been seeing each other like a month, so that's healthy. And this woman I've been seeing got like really drunk and tried to strangle my children. Okay.
What?
No, exactly. Like what? Also, like the kids, I'm not a social worker. I don't know. The kids seemed unaware that that had happened. But it was like, it was just like, it was really, you know, he pulled me and my mom and my brother aside, and my dad aside. And he was like, can somebody help me move some of, you know, I need to get to a safe space and I have a place to go and bring the kids, but I've been living with her. Can somebody help me move some of my stuff out of the house? And I wasn't doing anything and I was kind of down for an adventure. So I was like, yeah, I'll move some stuff out of this woman's house with you. And I don't know why my parents let me go, I guess because I was a full-grown adult, but they didn't even try to stop me, which I'm like, mom, that was a parenting fail. But I go with him. And at this point, he's done nothing but just like have crazy eyes. So I can't like, I'm just like, maybe I'm being judgmental. I don't know. I think the first red flag started when we get in the car and he immediately like lights up a bowl to smoke. And he like offers me some and he's like, do you want some? And I was like, is it weed? And he's like, no, but he won't tell me what it is. And I was like, okay, so no, I'm going to go with no on the mystery drug offered to me by Crazy Eye Man while he's driving in the car. There's like no cops out in Terlingua too. Like when I say no government, like it's not, there's not really any any form of it. It is really the wild, wild west. So when I say he's like smoking weed, like out his car, that is kind of a common occurrence. So that didn't like hit me as much as it would if we were like in a suburb. But, you know, so I found out it's not weed. I still don't know what it is. And he turns to me then. We start going down this remote path and it's starting to get even more remote. My parents' place is like pretty remote, but it is off of a trail. This is like, this stops being, it's in this like Cedar Ridge place. It's just very, very, very remote. And I kind of know where we're going because this chick has a lot of like weird stuff on her property that I've seen before. Like she doesn't live in a house. Like I'm pretty sure she lives in like a model airplane that she has like converted into a house. So we're like eventually in like the dead middle center of nowhere. There's nowhere around to be found. And he turns to me and he goes, "You know why I trust your family?" And I'm like, "Why?" And he says, "Because even though you guys are Jews, you know not to trust other Jews." And
what?
And I go, "Yup," because I am in the car alone with this man. So I go, "Yup, yeah, just sure. Yes, we're the anti-Semitic Jews."
Like definitely some meth. He's definitely smoking meth.
Yeah. So
were you? Yeah, that's the reference.
And
were you scared?
You know, I think due to bipolar disorder, I have like a clinically high risk tolerance, and so I'm at this point still like doing it for the plot, doing it for the story, doing it for the plot. And so eventually we do pull. So the conversation keeps going on like that. About how like, you know, the Jews have like a secret thing with like the Muslims and there's like a Muslim mafia. And I was like, I've never heard of the Muslim mafia. There is for sure a Jewish mafia. There was like for sure. And it's weird that you're not talking about that, but whatever. Give us credit where credit is due. And just going on and on. And eventually we pull up to the model airplane house. And there's like a bunch of storage containers there and a woman who looks disheveled at best, and appears to not be super sober. It's like 11 a.m. Is like comes in and just starts screaming right off the bat. And I can't really understand what she's saying, but she's just like, you know, "Fuck you. You know, this is all my property. You can't go on there." And he's screaming and she's screaming. And then eventually, after like 5 minutes of screaming, he's like, "I got to get my stuff." And she's like, "You don't dare get your stuff." And he's like, "Lindsay, we got to go get my stuff." And so I get out of the car and I just follow behind him. So it's this man, then it's me. And then behind me is the woman just screaming at both of us. And I'm just kind of walking and following him behind. And he opens up a large storage container. Like it is like probably like a story tall. Like it's huge. And do you know what is inside it? Probably like 400 guns.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
And I'm like,
what?
And literally before I can like process this, he has handed me an armful, like a bushel of guns.
What kind of guns?
Yeah, all types of guns. They were mostly rifles. There were definitely some pistols. There were Glocks. There was a plethora of, like, a kid in a candy shop, but the candy shop was guns. Like, it was wild. And I would say that I probably have more experience with guns than it might appear, just given that everything about me. But, like, I grew up in Texas. My family's very, like, safe and, like, regulated about it. But, like, I've always been, like, my parents always kind of made sure I knew how to, like, handle a gun. So once again, I was like, well, this is really weird, but there's nothing I can do. But there's the only way out is through right now. Like, there's nowhere I can go. There's nowhere I can be. I guess I'm just, like, getting these guns. So I'm taking these armfuls of guns, asking no questions, back and, like I'm taking, like, armfuls of guns and, like, putting them in this truck, armfuls and armfuls and armfuls. And here's the one thing that I did know for sure was that he could not afford ammunition. Ammunition is very expensive, and his financial situation was fairly dire. So I knew for a fact that these were all empty guns, and it felt more almost like a sexual fetish than it did a dangerous thing.
It was so weird.
And it's so weird that he had only been with this woman for, like, a month, and he had managed to move all those guns onto her property. Like, what's the story behind that? And this whole time, this woman is screaming. And then out of nowhere, two things happen at once. Number one, this man's 11-year-old kid, the one who my parents or my mom had been tutoring, shows up in like a buggy, like a side by side. Should not be like an 11-year-old driving, whatever. Shows up. I have no idea how he got there, but I guess he had been staying there. And he's like, "Hi, guys." And the second thing that happened is that the drunk woman starts firing into the air. And, like, that was the point where I was okay, now I'm scared. Once again, though, only way out is through. Nothing for me to do. I guess I'm just going to keep my head down and keep loading these guns. So eventually we load all of the guns. And at this point, they're yelling at each other. It has gotten very escalated. And he hooks a huge trailer full of lumber onto the back of the truck. And she is pointing her gun at him. Now, I learned later that that's kind of an MO of hers. She points her gun at a lot of people. Whatevs. I mean, not whatevs. It's not good. But so I get in, I'm like watching this, and he hooks this huge trailer full of lumber onto the back of this beat up pickup truck. And it's an old pickup truck. And he just turns me. He's like trying to de-escalate the situation that he was just escalating. And he turns to me and goes, "Lindsay, take my son and go. Get out of here. You gotta go." And at this point, like, the 11-year-old is sobbing. I have him in the car, and I'm trying to start this car, and I have, like, I drive stick, but it's like a three on the it's an old pickup truck. I have no idea how to start it. Second note, I've never pulled a trailer before in my entire life. I can barely drive a truck. Like, and this is a huge trailer. And the 11-year-old is, like, yelling at me how to do it because he drives this truck all the time. And
I just tell him to drive. Go for it,
buddy. Yeah. And so I eventually, like, and, like, get out. And I get out. And I'm driving, like, a mile. This kid is sobbing. I'm like, I guess I'm bringing him back to my place. I don't know. Is this kidnapping? Like, what is the deal?
With all the guns and the lumber to your place.
Yeah. And I cannot stress this enough. There are also, like, 250 guns in the car, right? Like, there's a lot of guns in this truck that I'm driving. And I guess the sheriff got called because as I'm, like, driving away, I'm about to get on the main road and I get pulled over. And
where'd the sheriff come from? Like, 280 miles.
The sheriff. So there is a Terlingua sheriff. He was probably about an hour away from where we were at. So she must have, like, called the sheriff as soon as we showed up. And
he shows up. He pulls me over, and rightfully, he's suspicious of me because I have a crying child in the car, hundreds of guns, no license, by the way, because I didn't think I would be driving. No license, no identifying characteristics whatsoever. And he's like, do you have your license? I was like, no. And he's like, registration? I was like, not my car. And he's like, and this is an 11-year-old. He's not mine either. And I'm trying to explain the situation. And he's like, hold up. I don't think that you know how to drive this trailer, like this like trailer that's attached to your truck. And I was like, you're correct. I don't. I think I'm doing poorly and I'm really uncomfortable and I don't know how to do this. And he was like, this is actually nuts. This was not actually the sheriff, and I'm not going to name it because it was a member of law enforcement from the Terlingua Alpine area, which is like a 3-hour radius. And I'm not going to name because it was pretty fucked up. He goes, I will let you go if you can back up this trailer. And if not, then I have to take you in. And I was like, well, I don't know how to back up the trailer. And he was like, you should try. So I do. So I maintain eye contact with this fucking police officer the entire time while I'm failing to back up the trailer. I'm just sitting there like just failing. And the whole time this 11-year-old sobbing, being like, they're going to take my dad and I have to go to foster care. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe. Oh, like, I don't know. Like, it's so much. It's so much. They're sobbing. There's a police officer watching me as I fail to back up this enormous trailer. And so he comes up and he's like, you obviously don't know how to drive the trailer. And I was like, yeah, I wasn't lying when I said I didn't know how. That wouldn't have benefited me in any way. And then as soon as I'm like, I think I'm about to get arrested. Like, I have no idea what the fuck's going on. The man, the father of the child, the gun enthusiast, pulls up in that buggy, in that side-by-side, right next to the cop, and is like, hey. And the guy's like, oh, hey. And they just start chatting. And within like 5 minutes, both of them turn around, because I'm just sitting in my car, like, they turn around and he's like, okay, you can go. I'm like, okay. And I just drive off and nobody follows me. I still have the 11-year-old. And then the man, I hear the man driving away from the cop. So we're caravanning down the road and eventually we stop and we get out. So the little boy takes the side by side. I'm in the gun car, but the man is driving. And he's like, we just have to go to one more location. And I'm like,
oh my God,
no, because if I go to another location, I'm going to be dead. So here is the crafty, crafty Jew thing I did. I remember that I had this like red lip gloss that I had like just put in my pocket on the way out, like a form of chapstick. I don't know. I just like grabbed it and put it in my pocket on the way out. Didn't even think anything of it. And when he wasn't looking, I smeared it all over my hands and I went like I covered my nose and I was like, oh my God, my nose is bleeding. We have to go back to my place first so I can like get a change of clothes and everything like that. And he listened. And the minute we got back to my place, I ran inside. I was like, Mom, Dad, you can't let me. I need help here. Like, I need help. I can't go back out with this man. I'm gonna die. Like, ah. And I don't know what my parents said to him, but I was able to stay in the house. And then I learned later on, and this man actually just passed away, so I can say this, like, he was an informant with the cartel. Like, he was in with the cartel, but like an informant, and hence all the guns, hence why he was always on the lam, but he never got caught. Like, he never got caught. He was always arrested, but then let go. And it was just this wild thing. And we learned later on that
he was informing about the cartel to law enforcement.
Yes. Yes. And hence all the guns.
That's fucking crazy.
That's crazy, right? But he was also, he was working both sides. So those guns were cartel guns. But he was also, like, the reason why he, like, knew the officer and why he knew all the things is because, like, he was an informant for the officers as well. And
that's so wild.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say that's, like, the craziest story that ever happened to me in Terlingua.
I mean, Also, like, informing on the cartel, like, you gotta be fucking crazy to even think of that, because they will,
And I mean, and he will. Is
in the worst, like, possible way. Uh-huh. It's not just like you died easy, like, you
know,
like, they put you in a
without like giving away
roast in the sun.
Identifying details, because I don't want to give away too many identifying details, but like he just recently passed away, and I imagine it was not in a peaceful manner. That's all I'll say.
Oh, so this was a natural cause.
I don't know if it was like his body's time per se. I don't know if his body gave out. I'm sure that's not what happened.
Yeah.
It makes sense. When I hear pass away, it's like, you know,
sure. Yeah. Speaking of
passing away, in I'm going to butcher it again. Terlingua?
Wait. Sorry. Terlingua. Yeah.
Terlingua. So if your parents, your mom feels sick one day,
mm-hmm.
like there's like, what do you wait like 4 hours for a medevac to come in a helicopter?
Is a helicopter. So yeah, we all have medevac insurance down there. Yeah, and there's actually, there's a hospital in Alpine. So the closest town to Terlingua is Alpine, and it's actually a college town. There's a very small state school there called Sewell Ross University. And so Alpine has, like, doctors and hospitals and stuff like that. My parents, I would say they go to, and then the closest city is, like, Midland, Odessa, and that's, like, 4.5 hours away. So if there was,
like, that's, like, oil land, right?
Mm-hmm, that's oil land. So if they were to need a major surgery or something, they would definitely go to Midland, Odessa. But for like day-to-day doctor checkups and stuff like that, there's one in Alpine, which is like 1.5 hours away. We also just got a little like doc in the box in Terlingua, and it's like a virtual
doc
thing. Yeah, it's literally, a storage container, and you go in and there's a nurse, and the nurse is like, are you sick today? Because she's just chain smoking cigarettes in there. And then you Zoom with a doctor pretty much, and it's open like a couple hours a day, but you can get like antibiotics and like, it's like a minute clinic. You know what I mean? Like you can get like basic stuff. Also we're very close to Mexico. And so like we go to Mexico for like the dentist. It's great there and it's so cheap. Yeah. And we'll sometimes go for groceries, like a big grocery haul. Like we'll just like go into Mexico because it's like the same distance to go to Alpine as it is to go to Mexico.
You cross the border when you do that, or are you just like,
oh no, we cross the border. You're not going to hit like a real town area. You might hit like some like small villages, but you're not going to hit like a town area before a border crossing. But you might hit like little like settlements per se. But the border crossing. So we go through back and forth, and like actually now I can just show my license. So
yeah. That's crazy. Pick up groceries down in Mexico. It's faster. Is it like quality on point? Like is it better?
Yeah. So I mean you can get better like you can get like it's kind of like what you're looking for, right? Like a normal American grocery store is an Alpine. But if you want like cool juices, like good fruits, like interesting cookies, like, you know, just like if you want like good Mexican food, obviously. And it's we call it OJ. It's Okinawa. It's like right across the border. It's like the border town. And it's a lot of fun, you know? I mean, I fuck with Mexico so hard.
It's kind of cool that you can just go back and forth so easily. It's like going over to the next town.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I do not think I would do well living in the desert in Texas. Even before all this happened to me, I would not be doing well.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's not for everyone.
How does your skin do? You're kind of pale like me. Like,
I am
getting burnt constantly.
Yeah, I'm constantly putting on sunscreen. I mean, I'm a skincare bitch. So like I carry around sunscreen a lot. I will say that I get I sometimes get a little burnt, but like I also like wear like sun protection stuff. You sit in the shade. You don't go outside in the summer between the time of like like probably like noon to 5 p.m. Like you've got to stay inside. It's just like it's too fucking hot. And the problem is as well is like during the summer when it's like that hot, it's like I'm just wearing these like little tiny sundresses, not for like the cutesy of it all, but just because like the like fabric touching my skin makes me want to die. So it's like if I'm going to be outside, I just need to like be in something like very small and very flowy. But the problem problem is as well is that like I pee outside a lot in Trilingua because like water is scarce. You don't need to like flush the toilet. I pee a lot outside, and it got so much easier to just like not wear underwear so I could just pee outside easier. But then I got not one but two scorpion bites on my vagina and had to decide to start wearing underwear. So
you ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
You live and you learn. Apparently not the first time. It took two times.
I mean, I imagine if this scorpion bites you wearing underwear, you're still fucked, right?
Yeah, you would definitely still feel it. I think you would definitely still feel it, but like maybe there would be like I feel like an extra layer of protection couldn't hurt. And
I feel like if a scorpion bit my balls, I would have to go back to the ICU. Like, life might be over.
Yeah. The first time I was, like, tripping on mushrooms so hard when it happened, I was like, did I imagine this? And the answer is I didn't. It was just a full moon ceremony. I was sitting on the ground with no underwear because I was being a dumb bitch. And so I had to wake up my mom. I was like, Mom, a scorpion bit my pussy and I'm tripping on mushrooms. I really need help right now.
Help me.
What did Mom say to that?
What? Oh, what did my mom say to that? She was like,
yeah,
she asked. Well, first she was like, I need to examine it to make sure it's OK. And I was like, nope, that's a boundary for me. And that's a boundary.
Hard stuff.
And then once I saw that, like we like the scorpions out there, like aren't there. It's not going to kill you. It's not like I'm like having a venomous reaction. It just hurt. So I stood up and I was like, I think I'm actually fine. And then I passed out just like due to like the pain and probably the mushrooms. And then when I got back up again. My mom had poured me a glass of grape juice because I needed some sugar. And I did that and I like iced the area and like it was gone within 2 days. Yeah. An anticlimactic end to a pretty climactic story.
Really helped.
That's crazy. I know we're like at time here. I want to give you a moment. Like, thank you for telling this crazy story and like what happens in, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. Again, I'm like not only stupid but overtired. A chance to ask me anything you might want to ask me.
Ooh, can I ask you the same question you asked me, which is, if you were just meeting somebody for the first time, what would you want them to know about you?
It's a good question.
I should pick a really hard question. Is that what I said, by the way?
No, but it's how I interpreted it.
Okay. Well, I want them to know that I have a great sense of humor and that even though I can be a little much at times, I'm very caring and thoughtful. And also, I always think about both sides of like, somebody's, you know, like when there's like, for instance, what happened with my wife, you know, I think about her side, I think about my side, I think about the whole side and how that affects the whole.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I just am like very I think about that. I would say more than most. Some people are just like, oh, that's my opinion, you mm-hmm. know, and I think about it all. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like a complicated answer, like funny no. and caring. And
it's a no, it's a good answer.
Agents laughing at me. Cause
I would say that.
I don't know what.
My first impression of you was that you were funny and interesting.
You're like, it's just a roundabout answer, but it's a very true answer. Very kind, very funny. Always had a good sense of humor. Always thought about others.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly who you are, Jakey.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say you just like you come across as funny and interesting very quickly. And those are two things that I really value highly in a person. So good job gaining my approval.
Thank you. It's great to have it. And I think we gotta end with Adrian, like, answering that question.
What I want people to know about me, mm-hmm. I'm probably a little bit funny. I don't know if I'm quite as funny as Jake is, but I kind of have the same thing that he does, is that I can see someone's story from every single side. So I don't know. My caring and compassion is probably the most important thing about me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure that that like, dog. I'm sure that that comes from like a deep sense of empathy that if it isn't like, if you don't put boundaries on it, it's probably very, very difficult for you to like not be mm-hmm. feeling and absorbing every side of a situation, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of things, you can't ever judge a book by its cover. You can never judge someone just on what you're seeing, because there's so much more to people.
There's so much more to that. Yeah. And I don't read books.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've just started reading books again.
I'm not a book reader either. I like to read articles, though. more than just the headline. I know a lot of people read that.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this article. It's like, okay, you saw the headline of the article. You didn't. But Lindsay, I know you, and I know you have crazy stories, like all kinds of stories, mm-hmm. and you're very interesting. So maybe we'll have you on again.
I would love to.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Always good.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll drum up some in my noggin, and you guys keep interviewing interesting people, and I'm gonna keep listening. And thank you for what you're doing. Y'all rock.
Thanks for coming on. It was great chatting with you. All right, Jake, let's do your random thought of the day.
Oh, we're doing it?
We're doing it.
Yeah.
You wanted me to do it. We're doing it. Because I can't come up with random thoughts. So your random thought of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's going through my head at the moment is if I'm getting enough calcium. And then so I went to, like, how much calcium does the average person need on a daily basis, which I'm sure I could like find right. that out. But then the thought is, people as a whole, like, I wanted to know the average of actual calcium people are taking in.
You have some research to do.
yeah that seems interesting and also feasible to figure out, so I wish you luck on that quest.
Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Toyota salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.